Drunk on Comics, episode 154, The Worstest Podcast Ever.
No, I didn't have enough hands. I only carried the two beers with all my crap, so.
Like how Lindsay has to use her own bottle opener and.
Yeah, screw you.
Can't share, but. I mean, why isn't my bottle opener good enough for you?
I don't have an answer for that.
Okay.
Sorry.
It's an Infinity Gauntlet.
Mine's a Zelda one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you probably got it. It came from Loot Crate.
Oh. No.
Did you not get that one?
No, I'm kind of disappointed now, and
it's a collect bottle openers. I lost it. It's not fancy, it just says, take this. It's too dangerous to go alone.
That's pretty awesome.
Alright, well, I'll have to see it later, but
yeah.
Welcome to Drunk on Comics, everyone. I'm Tony, the hostess with the mostess. With me is Derek. He seems to have gone through puberty again, his voice is a little bit higher, but...
The newer, sexier Derek?
Yeah.
Yes.
And with us is Lindsay.
Or Linz.
Was that how you'd rather
Whatever
be preferred
one.
To be called?
It doesn't matter. You can call me lots of different things and
Flower,
I'll respond
if you want
to it.
To.
Yeah.
They are going to be joining us today, or joining me, while Derek goes and has a hiatus moving. So
he's moving.
I know.
How exciting for him.
He's going to be closer to you now.
I know.
You're excited about
our bromance is growing.
Yeah.
BFFs.
Hang out during the week now.
I know, instead of just the weekends.
Right?
Whatever will you do.
Get drunk every night and read comics. I mean.
That is the dream.
That is what we only do.
Yes.
I mean, we do nothing else besides that.
The cirrhosis is strong in this room.
So let's get down to business off the shelf. I don't know. I don't want to go first, so I'm going to put one of you guys on the spot.
Actually, no.
Before we get there, let's have our listeners know a little bit about you guys, because really they've only heard me, Matt, Kevin, and Derek talk all the time.
I am new Derek, apparently.
You're going to get a better nickname later.
Someday we'll figure it out,
yeah.
But I mean... I read all kinds of good stuff. I helped work the booth at Comic-Con at Motor City for them. Sold way more flasks than they ever could with Adam, so that was exciting. Apparently my sales skills are strong, as well as my nerd knowledge, so.
That is all true. Linz?
Linz. I mean, I don't... Huge...
Oh, you talk to yourself in third person now?
Yeah. All the time. You haven't noticed that about me yet?
Oh, we do still have a drunken interview with you that we haven't posted, which...
I promise not to say vagina like 100 times today.
Okay.
There's one.
For those listening at home, drink every time she says vagina. You will get wasted.
Super drunk. I don't like vagina. I like my vagina. I just said vagina like 100 times.
Yeah.
Drink. You're going to have to edit all of those out. Do I have to drink every time I say?
Yeah.
Please don't again. I just drink.
Anyway, I don't know really what to say. It's a huge comic book nerd fangirl of Drunk on Comics who's now here in the room.
Stalker issues now.
Yeah.
Awesome.
See?
And now she's never
going to
leave.
Everybody, right?
She sees where the magic happens. She's just like, I can never leave.
And didn't go running. So.
That's true. All
right. Because of that, Derek, you have to go first.
All right. So this week I picked up Midnighter number one. It is new DC post-convergence. Obviously, a character that's been established before. He is basically gay Batman with a supercomputer in his head. And we're not talking like birdcage gay. Like, he is a badass gay guy that does not care who knows and does not care about anyone.
So, like, they predominantly have his character say, yes, I'm gay? Or, like, is it implied? Or
no, it is straight out there in the beginning. Like, it starts with his online dating profile, like Tinder style. He is out on a date with a guy.
Oh.
And stuff goes down. It's pretty sweet how they draw everything in there with how the computer works, because he could basically calculate the odds of him winning any situation in his head. And
even
then,
dates?
I guess. I don't know. I guess they didn't really imply that part in there, but...
So his parents are dead?
You know, they didn't really talk about
like
that.
Batman.
Well, he's got, like, Batman-type, like, skills, you know? I mean...
Such as what, being rich?
No.
He own his own company?
So he's nothing like Batman.
Well,
he's got his parents and
he
his porn.
He has no power.
They didn't talk about his parents. I don't think he has parents. I don't know yet. But it's really cool. It's really cool how they draw the whole supercomputer interaction in his head. Like, when he's fighting people, you see the damage he's doing inside of them, like Mortal Kombat style.
That's pretty cool. I saw a couple of the pages in there. Who drew the art?
I will double check for you, because I do not remember. And, of course, I'm going to lose.
The title page is never in the front.
No, why would they do that? That would be way too
easy. I hate it when it's in the...
Oh, God, it's apparently in the freaking middle of the comic somewhere. Let's see.
Oh, yep, right in the middle.
I see ACO penciler, and ACO with Hugh Petrus inks.
Who wrote it?
It was Steve Orlando.
Okay. Now, this is number one, but you said this character's been around.
Yeah, he's been around. This is number one post-Convergence. He's been in and out of Nightwing, Grayson, things of that nature for the last... several years. He's been around, I believe, since the 80s.
So wait, Convergence is all over now?
It's still kind of going, but they're trying to reboot stuff
post-Convergence. So they're kind of like having other titles happen a couple months afterwards?
Yep.
I gotcha.
Yeah, because Convergence was their poor excuse to move shop to Los Angeles.
So this is a good guy or a bad guy?
He is a good guy, but he doesn't really care about anyone. So he kind of does his own thing. If you get in his way, he's going to hurt you.
Okay. I kind of like the supercomputer thing. Like, does it explain anywhere of where he got that? Or
a little bit, but that they kind of touched on it, and that's going to go into the next issue, I believe. So. Okay.
So it's like an actual computer in his head?
Yeah, he got experimented on. He got all these, like, augmentations when he was younger, so now he's got that. It's pretty fancy.
Can I see it?
You may.
Thanks.
This is going to be like how we usually do, passing a book around the room, and we kind of start looking at it and be like, this is cool, but we don't...
talk
say
about it.
Out loud. Yeah, so
we don't narrate our internal monologue as we thumb through the comic.
What do you think was one of the coolest? Like, why did you decide to pick up this? Just the name sounded.
I mean,
cool,
I looked online a little bit, and people were saying you should really read this comic. Obviously, I saw a couple previews for it, and I was like, that sounds like a cool concept. And then having like an overtly gay character like that's still a badass. I thought that was a really cool idea to do.
That is interesting. You know, I always think that's a non-issue to have, but that to still predominantly have people that can be openly gay in the comic book world now seems like the norm, and so it doesn't seem like they're just doing this to try to pull
it
in.
Yeah, it's not really a shock value thing. It's just one of those, they're just putting it out there.
Yeah.
He's this guy. I mean, that may be who he is, but it doesn't really have any effect on your readability of the comic or anything, so...
Linz, what's your take?
You're just nodding, so...
Well, I'm looking at the, guy on guy love that's going on.
There is some man love in there too, so be prepared for that. Yep, if you do pick it up.
They use a lot of boxes, like tiny little panels in here. It's kind of cool looking.
All right, so final thoughts on that?
Final thoughts, I am going to continue picking up this comic because I think it is very cool thus far, and I kind of am excited to see where it goes.
Awesome, I'm glad you're going to pick it up so I can start stealing it from you.
Well, yeah, that's kind of what you do. So we need to like work out a system where we buy like different stuff. So we don't
that's
have
what me
to...
and my brother, well, except for my brother doesn't.
Yeah, your brother doesn't ever actually buy anything,
yeah,
though. He just steals it from you, so.
Fuck him.
Fuck
such a dick.
Linz, what do you got?
I picked up Broken World, number one, by Boom Studios. It's like a Armageddon type story where there's an asteroid about to hit the world and destroy it all. And did you guys watch 2012, that big iceberg with, you know, where they're putting
everybody?
There
was a big everything.
Where they're putting everybody on, like,
yeah, those ships.
Yeah, that's kind of the same thing here, except they're shooting them off into space and the government is deciding who's going, and anybody that's kind of shady has to stay on Earth and die.
So I saw, like, where, like, the setting of this, it's a little futuristic than now at times. Like, their rocket ships look pretty...
Yeah, it doesn't say exactly when it takes place, so it looks futuristic just because the technology is crazy in here. Like, they have an elevator that, they call it the space elevator. It goes up to the ships that are already up in space.
Oh, okay. So are they explaining where they're headed off to? Like,
nope.
Noah's Ark somewhere?
No,
they didn't. Shoot them into space and see what happens?
Oops. Tony's phone is going off.
You ever hear it vibrate or silent?
I sometimes forget to turn off my phone. Sorry, guys. It's been
I heard
a
that's a reoccurring issue from what I've been hearing from Matt and
yeah, but there. Usually they're here to tell me to
turn it off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I apologize.
Yeah, thanks for apologizing for me. That's good. You're forgiven, Derek.
Thanks.
I'm not sorry.
So anyways, going back to Broken World, this is a book that I saw that I wanted and then totally forgot about. And then when you were saying you're going to review this, I go, what's that about? And I flipped open and I go, fuck, that's that book I wanted to read.
Yes. So the main character, her family, ready to go up into space. It's like the last 48 hours before the asteroid's supposed to hit, and she's not going. There's something in her past that the government was like, nope, you're not allowed to go.
The rest of her family can go?
Yes.
Oh, so that's going to be like the big plot thing to find out.
Right, right. So she actually gets a fake ID made that's supposed to be able to get her on board with her family. And it goes into all these religious fanatics that are ready for the world to end and just kind of want to die with the asteroid. And, anyway, that's not really a big part of it. Yeah, I think it's going to play something into it in the future.
So wait, though, they have 48 hours?
At the beginning they did.
But what? What's left at the end?
It goes through 48 hours in this whole book.
So, wait, so then the what's left to read about the book?
There's the ending?
Is there a broken world?
Oh! Did it reform to a battle world?
I don't know if I want to give it away.
Hail Doom.
But she doesn't make it onto the ship at the end. Her family does, and they figure out that she was trying to fake her identity, and they do not let her on.
See, that's what I was hearing, and so that's where I started thinking, like,
and then,
is each issue going to be one random thing?
No, because here's the end. I don't really want to spoil it, but I'll spoil it for you.
So it looks like it... Looks okay, like yeah.
Shit got real.
So that's interesting.
Yeah, so I'm excited to see where... You have to pick it up to figure, because I'm not going to tell you.
You're breaking the one rule of Drunk on Comics where we say we're not going to spoil it, and then we just
then we
say
spoil it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it. But it'll be interesting to see what happens after that, because there's like a million different ways they could go. Oh, I guess I should tell you who wrote it, hey?
Yeah.
Frank, what is that? Barbier.
Welcome to Drunk Comics, where we cannot pronounce names for the life of us.
Illustrated by Christopher Peterson, colors by Marissa Louise, letters by Ed Dukeshire?
You got like pronounceable names, not just...
Yeah, just the first one. It's French. Initials. It's Barbier. The art's great. They use really thick lines in it and lots of bright colors, which is kind of what drew me in. So, it was good. I'm excited for the next one.
All right, cool. Sounds good. So my review today is going to be a little bit different. I picked up the shittiest book in the world. Like, this sucked harder than Sasha Gray at a blowjob contest. Like, this is such a bad comic. I don't even want to talk about it, but I will. It's Bizarro number 1 / Bizarro America part 6. The Word Man, Heath... Just even the fucking title page on this just cracks me up. Heath Corson, they am artisti, Gustav Duarte and Bill Sienkiewicz writing. I'm guessing Marker Man would be the tracer, Pete Pantesius. but yeah, even that, what trying to describe the things in this, obviously saying it sucks is Bizarro's word of saying that it's awesome.
This comic was amazing.
I see what you did there.
Okay, first off, I'm just going to have to talk about the dialogue for a minute, and then I'm going to probably bring it back up again when I think about even the funnier parts. I had to actually... This took me so long to read, only because when I read something, I had to then process in my mind the opposite of that and reread what they said to get what they're saying.
Didn't they write it in Tony speak?
A bit, but I also...
Me happy.
I mean, simple words me understand, but opposite words I still need to then, you know, get a thesaurus and find the antonym for it.
Oh, look at that big word.
I know.
That's not Tony speak.
I almost said synonym, which would have been the opposite of that, but yeah. Anyways, no, there's the parts where I think my favorite one, which it just started getting going on, was when he was talking about wanting to go to, like, Disney World or something, and or the circus, can we go? And Jimmy goes, no. And then Boo-ray, which I guess means bad, to Bizarro, he goes that, which is obviously awesome because Jimmy said no, meaning yes, they were going to go. In which case, Jimmy realizes, he goes, no, I mean yes. And then Bizarro goes, awesome, being pissed. And Jimmy goes, I'll never get used to it. I'm just reading this like, holy fuck, man. Like, I would get so lost even just talking to Bizarro. Me reading this got me even more confused. So there's a lot of stuff like that in here where you're kind of like, when he's saying, like, no, you break car, like, to fix it. But you're like, it's already broke. Oh, that's what he did mean, fix it. Like, so the writing was superb.
It would take a lot of time. Do you think they wrote it and then tried to just reverse everything?
Yes. I mean, yeah. they had to have, yeah, had the main plot going and then be like, how can we switch this? And they probably had to switch a couple other things around, like the scene that I just said, the two panels with that, just to make that joke there. But this is a road trip of Jimmy Olsen and Bizarro, which accidentally happened because he's talking to Clark Kent, who Clark Kent was kind of saying, yeah, wouldn't it be great to just get rid of Bizarro, because him being Superman, you know, knows that Bizarro means well.
But it doesn't always do everything so yes. Well.
And so, talking about Jimmy coming up with the thought of, what if we took him to un-America or non-America?
I'm trying to remember
what exactly it's called, but to Canada. Bizarro America, which is Canada.
Canada.
So taking a road trip up to Canada with him. And when Clark says, you know, that could be a huge book deal, Jimmy then, what thought was a joke, would be like, oh, that could...
this could actually work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Pulitzer Prize or something. So on this road trip, you're getting to learn a little bit more. And so where this happens, whether it's post-convergent, pre-convergence, I just look at it as it's a self-contained story. Like, you can say it happens whenever, but... because it's not really taking any other characters besides these, except for the secret origin of Colin the Chupacabra.
Oh, yeah.
which was another... like, there's just so much shit going for this book that I can't even begin to describe. Having all of a sudden him bring out a Chupacabra was, like, random.
It was insanely random. I was reading through it. One, it was taking me forever as well, because it's... yeah, it's hard to read.
How about that iconic art right there from Action Comics with the Superman front cover and the thing hitting the tree?
Yeah, there were some cool comics.
There, throughout this... oh, that was also the tree. The tree hit the car, not the car hit the tree. No, and so when they're trying to figure out what's going on, you start feeling... you feel bad for Bizarro all the time until he just... the shit that he does where you're just like, man, I would be fucking annoyed with him. But it gets into it even better. The art, I want to say this not as a diss. It's cartoony drawing. I look at art a couple different styles. Either it's like really metaphysical, like out there. It's more realistic, or it's cartoony. This works perfectly for this book because this is supposed to give you lots of laughs. Just like I said, but it wouldn't be there if it wasn't for the writing, the dialogue, and how things are said. Now, the one page in particular that I did want to talk about, and I don't know why, it was just Bizarro's dream of him just being like the king of the world, and it really kind of was different from what the rest of the drawings were, that it looks like a print that I would want to have on my wall, just to, in the mind of Bizarro.
Scary place.
That is a terrifying place.
Yes. Now, the one other thing that I did notice with this book, something that we had mentioned last week, was how DC is going to start doing their new ads and splitting pages. And I didn't really get affected, didn't really notice until I go, oh, that's Nick Lachey. I haven't seen him in forever. Oh, Twix. I love Twix. Oh, he's on two pages. And that's when I noticed... that,
why is it Nick Lachey?
Apparently he needed to be relevant again. I don't know.
I don't know either, but... and then I noticed, oh shit, they did exactly it's what they right said the they were going to do.
That looks like it would be really annoying, especially since it's Nick Lachey, but...
you hit him twice, so
right,
it's...
right, yeah.
It was... it made me look at the ad, which... really, then I started noticing the next page was an ad, and I totally didn't even look at it. I just started going out, and then I said, wait, I need to look for the ad to physically try to look for the ad. There it is. So this is...
it's effective.
Effective.
Yeah.
But it was only effective in the sense of, like, I was like, oh, I guess I kind of did notice that. Moving along. Then, I, like I said, if it wasn't for Twix and Nick Lachey, I actually wouldn't have cared, but...
Probably not.
Yeah.
So basically, you're saying the only effective ads for you are going to be with late 90s, early 2000 boy band, like, obscure members? Like, you're going to have, like, J.C. Chazet or something on the next one? You're like, yeah!
Yeah.
Chris Kirkpatrick, what's up?
So, DC marketing team, for my eyes only, I guess the 90s is where it's at.
Boy band 90s, though.
I wouldn't say just
what
boy
what
band.
What if they put, like, a Spice Girl on there for you? Would that really do it for you?
That would get me, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
A little bit of Posh.
Yeah, you know? That's your Spice Girl,
maybe, yeah, she was.
Yeah.
That or Baby, who knows? Mel B. I can't
just
think
any of them, really,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. But those are the only ones I can
think of. Your Spice Girl knowledge is kind of upsetting me right now.
Hey, now. That's good stuff to know.
So back to this. I love that at the end, instead of saying to be continued, it says to be started. And then the previous issue, which really it's not. It's talking about then what's going to happen in the next issue. It's something that needs
well,
to be read.
Well, you said that that starts at, what is it, number six? Is that what it
well,
says on the
what
inside?
What it says. It's yeah. just the title, though, to kind of do the joke. And like yeah. I said, with everything in here, the jokes are bound. I didn't even notice till right before we started recording that the number one here on the front cover was, like, reversed
backwards.
Like that. Yeah.
I love stuff
so
like
there,
that.
So there is so many Easter eggs within here of some of the... Even there's some dialogue that I kind of was like, I guess I really don't get the opposite of that, so I don't understand what that's supposed to mean. But it was kind of like a one-off panel, so it had to have been like a joke.
Tony didn't get it.
Yes.
That's surprising.
Thanks.
Aren't there supposed to be, like, 8 issues of that, if I remember right?
Well, it says 6, but if they are doing 8, that'd be even more hilarious.
Was it 6? I was trying to remember.
Yeah. Well, that'd be funny if
that would
they
be funny
did
if
eight,
they just did 8.
Like,
yeah.
I kept saying 6 and getting there. So I can't wait to see where it's going. I definitely put this on my pull list, and it needs to be read to be appreciated.
Who wrote it? Did
well,
you say? Did I miss
yes,
it?
Yes, if you're paying attention.
I don't remember
but
it.
Now no one remembers. So
Heath Corson.
Okay.
So... Don't pick it up. It fucking sucks. You guys got any news?
I have a couple things.
Oh, really?
I do. I did research.
Look at that.
I know. It
for
was
your
hard.
First, for your first recording, you actually did some work.
I did.
We might have to hire you. You did more than what we normally do.
Lumberjanes, the comic book, is being adapted for film. Which is excited for girls everywhere who love comic books.
Lumberjanes, I know that we've talked about that before. Do you recall what that's about?
I don't actually read it.
I believe it's like girls at like a summer
yeah.
camp, if I remember correct. And they're like learning
they
all this
run
stuff.
Into,
but
like supernatural
yeah.
stuff. And
ooh.
Yes. I know,
my kind
right?
of comic.
it's like kids supposed to be geared towards children,
yeah.
I think.
Younger.
So it is my kind of comic.
Yes,
I can
totally.
Read the words well.
It
yes.
is written to Tony. Yes.
But it's brought a lot of girls into reading comics.
That's cool.
So the fact that they're adapting it for a movie is kind of cool.
Well, speaking of bringing girls into comics, Ms. Marvel has done that, as well as bringing a lot younger readers. She's finally going to have her animated debut on Disney's XD Avengers Assemble cartoon coming up next season, which seeing Marvel take this new property and just going hog wild with, like, let's promote the shit out of Kamala Khan, like, is awesome to see, especially with how taking the iconic name Ms. Marvel and how a lot of people even want to see Captain Marvel and talking about, at least in the article I was reading, about trying to fit both of them in there since they both had the mantle of Ms. Marvel, but also having more females within the comic book world showing up in cartoons, not
I'm
just comic books.
About that.
Yeah, so I find that incredible. Plus, when you have the strong property of like Miles Morales and all these other people that you could easily fit in to one of the Avengers cartoons, but they're like, no, we're gonna take the new Ms. Marvel and let's put her in before all these other guys, and that's really cool.
I think that they're probably trying to pull more girls into watching that show because this is definitely boy focused at the moment. So that'll be cool.
I can't be the only one that talks.
No.
Sure you have a couple.
But you
other.
Love the sound of your own voice, so.
It's true. I mean, Deadpool versus Thanos coming soon to to a comic book near
you.
It's
September, isn't it?
Yeah.
When the series starts?
I'm excited about that.
That is pretty awesome.
Well, that is something that I definitely could get behind, especially because I love both of them and that they both love death. And
well, I think that's the whole basis of the comic, too.
I believe death goes missing, and they have to go like set aside their differences and find her, even though that's impossible.
See, I'm trying to not have the comic book be spoiled, because that's what happens far too often when we do research on this shit. So, for me, I want to actually be surprised for once.
Well, sorry. I ruined your life.
You did.
It's just the basis. You don't know what's
is going to happen.
Right.
You can't, like, stick your head in the sand like an ostrich for the next 3 months.
That could work. Something that I saw, it's been around for a little while, or a couple weeks at least, but I can't wrap my brain around it. It is the most murders committed in the Marvel Universe. And it's this infographic, which looks kind of cool and all, and you have some of the kill counts added up. People who are dangerous, people who, you know, are just, you know, super deadly. And the kill counts just don't add up. No. Like, I'm looking at this thing. First off, I would never have thought Captain America killed 6 people, but he has killed them in comic books lore. Then right next to him, you have Mr. Sinister with only 7 kills, and I think to myself, Mr. Sinister genetically, like, manipulates people. He fucking has killed countless people in his genetic testings. Like, how does he only kill 7? So, like, I don't understand where this they're getting these numbers for. I mean, going all down to... What was it, Punisher?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Punisher 34? One's just stupid.
Yeah, only 34 kills.
Is that per issue?
Per panel? I mean...
Yeah, it doesn't make sense of where they're getting these numbers from or what it's supposed to be, because if we look at that, I mean, Wolverine only has 46 kills. I mean, notable kills. I love that the first one there says Jean Grey, so... always got to remind him of that one, but... it's doesn't really make sense, but it's something fun to kind of look at, I guess, to kind of see who's most deadly. But if you didn't know Deadpool, Wolverine, and Punisher were kind of the most lethal in here,
shocking.
You probably don't read comic books, so
that's fair. The middle ones are the ones that surprised me.
Yeah,
the
like Bullseye. One. He's an Namor assassin.
And Thor down there.
Yeah. How does an assassin only have 9?
He's a really crappy assassin, apparently. Like Venom.
Yeah.
I mean, he misses a lot.
Oh shit. I thought I turned it off. Oh, it's my brother.
It's Matt.
Hi, Matt.
Hey, Donnie, what's up?
Not much. We're just recording.
Oh, you're recording now?
Yep. And supposed to...
I'm getting... This is a bit awkward.
Yeah, he answered his phone.
Shocking it rang while we were recording.
Yeah, well, that's not too shocking.
Is it new, Derek?
It is indeed, sir.
And newer, sexier, Derek?
Yup, you know it.
Younger, too.
And younger.
Much well. Younger.
She just sounds prettier than the rest of us. So I just wanted to call because have you seen the new trailer for Lucifer yet? The TV show?
Yes.
Unfortunately.
Have you guys?
Yeah. It looks awful. It looks like somebody got drunk one night and told the movie producer about this really good series that... Mike Carey wrote that was based off of Neil Gaiman's Lucifer. They started in Sandman, and they go, "Oh, what? He quit Helen Young's nightclub, and that's about as far as they got." Because the rest of it's total crap.
Yeah, it kind of seems like they just took a shit on the whole premise of a great comic series. It was horrible and painful to watch. It will not last more than 3 episodes.
Yeah, it's a buddy cop drama.
Well, unfortunately, it's on Fox, so it probably won't last more than 3 episodes.
They cancel good
shows.
They've
already petitioned to try to cancel it, but that's by some Christian group who claims their First Amendment rights are being violated because of it, which is kind of funny that they're using the First Amendment to defend and also against the show. But they've only got 12 supporters, though, so I'm pretty sure if we started a petition to cancel it because of how far away it went from the source material, we'd have 12,000 by the end of the day.
I just don't like it that he's trying to somehow, like, romanticize, like, his buddy cop partner, like, because she can't fall for the devil's spells, which... What the fuck?
Yeah. Where was that?
And that's the devil's superpowers. Make girl wet. Like,
yeah, that's like.
I mean, that sounds just by itself like a great show, but maybe not on Fox.
Maybe not when you base it off something.
You just forget that it's a British accent, and all bad people have to be the British.
Well,
so
British people are evil.
I mean, where's the blonde or at least the strawberry blonde hair guy whose hair is combed up into two horns above his head to at least, I don't know, maybe look like Lucifer? But, no, that'd be too much. No, we got this guy who needs to shave. I just think his charmingness is completely too goofy and funny, whereas the character that Mike Carey created was cold. And, yeah, he could be charming, but only when he wanted something from you. And I think that's the biggest downfall here, is that the show really looks like it's about him trying to do some good. And the whole point of the series was that Lucifer only does what's good for Lucifer. And that's why he was an interesting character.
Okay, well...
Anyways, I think it's stupid. It's going to be horrible. So...
Well, thank you, I guess,
I'm sorry. I'm sorry to interrupt. You guys have fun.
You had to get it off his chest.
Go drunk on comics. Oh, I got a baby crying in the background. Okay, talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Well, that was...
Thanks, Matt.
Something completely different and unexpected.
Horribly off topic, but...
Yeah.
Are you going to start taking phone calls now?
I guess so. Well, I guess we'll see how that comes out in post-production, and maybe we might be able to start taking phone calls. I mean, fuck, I have my phone on me all the time anyways. Might as well just start screen calls and see who it is.
I'd do a live show and take phone calls?
I mean, we could do a live show. I don't know how, because we don't stream it right over
there. Yeah.
Internet, so it's right. Not truly live, but I mean,
could be a fun one-time thing to do though, if you get people behind it.
You do an Ask Me Anything.
That's yes,
kind of fun. I don't want to ask you anything though, Tony.
Why not?
You're scared of the answers.
You're not gonna like what you hear.
I know.
What I like hearing is about a new Power Rangers movie.
Your ringtone didn't give that away at all.
And it's so dumb that there are certain things that really like geek me out. And why all of a sudden I just stopped powering? And I think it all comes from Voltron, but I mean, just anything, or from Devastator, any type of giant fucking robot zords that combine. But this just makes me kind of giddy. Like, it's going to be more mature. It's going to be for our age. It's not going to be like a complete shit that the new Gem movie is going to be like. It's going to be something for the people that grew up with it. Hopefully, maybe, fingers crossed.
I love when they do stuff like that.
The original Power Rangers?
That's from what I've heard, but I mean, whether they get the same casting or not.
Well, the Yellow Ranger got decapitated in a car accident, so I don't think that's going to happen. But
oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they might find someone that looks like her. I mean,
Were two different. There were two different Yellow Rangers, though, weren't there?
True. And there was a time where they were all kind of the same grouping before a couple of them quit/got fired, so...
The one Yellow Ranger, we should have talked to her at Motor City Comic Con. She was there. You could have gotten a picture of her in her Power Ranger suit.
I know.
She was at Grand Rapids Comic Con, too.
Really? Well, I know. Yeah. I saw Tommy last year there, and I know he's coming back in the MMA world, but, like, if he gets around, the Blue Ranger was here, as well. So, I mean, they're kind of doing the con circuits again, so maybe they're kind of, like...
Seeing each other.
Get some relevance. Let's do this. I mean, the Pink Ranger, she's on some, I think, cop show as well.
She was on Flashpoint. It was like Canadian, SWAT.
Yeah. So, I am definitely going to probably be talking about this more the more I hear about it. That I don't know how I just heard about this now, right before recording. That's my bad, but yay.
Yeah, you were supposed to be the authority on all things Power Rangers. Yeah. I don't know what happened.
Speaking of Tony being a child, the new toys that are coming out from Disney, did you see those?
Oh, yeah, the, what is it?
The Playmation
toys. Yeah, and where I am still a little lost in what it seems like it's almost like a all-around Jarvis-like detection system where you have the arm glove thing, and it almost seems like a laser tag, but it seems like it also like interacts with where you're at in your environment. There's some little figurines that it can also do with, almost like the...
So, yeah, they've done like Disney Infinity, like Skylanders combo with it, which seems kind of cool.
But like even reading about it, they're saying about how, you know, kids can slap this wrist thing on theirs, or adults can as well. And just,
Tony.
That they flat out said adults makes me feel like, yay.
It'll be okay.
I just can't wait to see you running down the street shooting invisible monsters.
Exactly.
It's going to be amazing.
That's what I can't wait to see. How is this actually works? They're saying the Avengers starter pack is going to be $120. Have to start saving up my, you know.
Looks like there's going to be an app. Maybe you could put it on your phone, and then you can operate and download additional missions and stuff. Maybe they do like some GPS location type thing. Who knows?
That would be fucking sweet.
Amazing.
Little Big Brother-ish, but pretty awesome.
They're doing Star Wars ones too.
Oh, that's amazing.
Well, Frozen, but whatever. I guess little girls need some toys too.
Everyone loves Frozen.
How do you do the Frozen one?
I have no idea.
Do you guys hear they're making Frozen 2?
Shocking. Let's beat this dead horse, Disney. We love making money.
Yeah. Oh, they're really good at that.
They are really good. Squeezing blood from stones.
Something totally opposite from Frozen. Sex Criminals number 11 is going to have 1,000 copies, signed with a sketch from Fraction and Zardesky. That's something that's pretty sweet.
Like, I think it's so smart.
Well, not only smart to get more... People have been talking about this comic book since it first debuted, and when you do stuff like this that... Okay, yes, it's getting more published, but I don't think they necessarily needed it. It gives, like, incentive for those people that are picking this up that, sweet, they say, you know, out of the 1,000 copies, so it's about 1 in 35 chance of finding one of these, but that you have it signed, that you have them sketched on this cover. Mm-hmm. They're all coming bags, so you don't know if you're going to get that lucky one.
That is a
one
cool thing to do. You just there's no just like set ones. They're all coming that way, so you don't know if you're going to get it or not. It's like, you got the golden ticket.
Yeah, and that's just, like I said, I think that they took their time to actually, you know, sit out, sketch, do these things. They didn't have to, but that they did, just kudos to them, and I think more comic books and creators should do fun stuff like this for the regular fans. I mean, once they're gone, people come and get back issues, second printings, whatever, but these are for the people that buy them at the store right away. It's one of those things where, like, you know, whenever they have other bag content, usually it's just because there's something on the cover that they don't want you to reveal to know the whole story. This is something totally different. This is just so that you don't know if you're winning or not.
If you're going to have a hand-drawn dick on your cover or not.
Oh my god, that would be fucking hilarious if that's what some of them are.
Well, I think they said, what is it, they were drawing dicks and stuff on 1,000 comic books.
Nice.
That would be awesome.
That's even more perfect. So DC Comics is trying to get readers to understand what the hell's going on before DCU takes over. And DCU just sounds...
New
52 needs to be rebooted again, apparently, because they can't go more than 2 years without rebooting the universe.
This is not DCU as in you, as in the letter U being universe.
Y-O-U.
This is DC. Yeah.
You.
You
and you and you.
You, because you're part of DC.
Are you ready for action?
Well, we're going to make fun of Marvel's moniker in a bit. Okay. But this, at least, is pretty sweet. They are putting up, in the next 2 weeks, a shit ton of DC Comics for 99 cents.
1,200 digital books.
Yeah. And looking at the list of these things, you're getting quite a few of what's current. And you can catch up on everything that, you know, you've missed so far in some of these series. I think for 99 cents, when you really add up some of these comic books, I could have bought like two more houses how much I spend. This is something that even, you know, the poor college kid could at least pick up a couple
things. Pick up a few. Looks like Midnighter, the old issues, are one of the ones that are on sale, trying to get people to understand what's going on there. So that's pretty cool. Maybe I'll have to go back and read some of them.
Yeah, you should pick those up and then let me read them. So, not to be outdone by DC, even though DC has a way better deal, it was just announced that Marvel's coming out with some manga variants in August, but also with their True Believers $1 issues. Now, the True Believer $1 issues, because the variant covers whatever, manga. Yay.
Yeah.
But the $1 ones, it's a way for like readers to get to know some characters, you know, their introductory issues. Kind of like the point ones that they've been pushing out, but they're only going to be for $1. So, what was it that you were saying?
The Image Firsts. Image does that with all of theirs.
And I think that's just a... Especially with what they're kind of, all these places are doing now with like flipping the world upside down. It's the biggest event that ever happened.
This week.
Yeah. This year.
But also, speaking of Marvel, what was their all new, all different is their tagline?
Yeah, that's which, their new tagline.
What the fuck is their tagline right now?
I don't know. For a while there, they were Marvel Now.
Yeah, but then I thought it was then an all new something.
I don't read a lot of Marvel. It's sad. Yeah,
it's like buying that new and improved bag of chips with 20% less, even though the bag is bigger.
Yeah. It is a bigger bag.
Man. It's just less in it.
You can make way more crinkles. It's...
No, so, but also looking at some of the character designs that are going to be coming out this fall, some of them that stuck out the most was Old Man Logan. And this is all coming out then post-Secret Wars. So if they're already having sketch designs for Old Man Logan, to me that makes me think he's going to be a mainstay in this new whatever is going to happen post-Secret Wars world. Is he going to be the only Wolverine? Is he going to replace the Wolverine? Or is old Wolverine going to come out of his adamantium shell and
Wolverine
melt
Wolverine
in your mouth, not
in
your hand? Like, yeah.
Interesting.
Melt in your mouth and not in your hand.
Yeah, like an M&M. Another one that we saw was female Thor. So that's another one of, what's going to happen to Thor? Like...
Well, it's good to know she hasn't kicked it yet, too.
Yeah.
That's true. But
keeping her around, so.
Yeah.
The worst-looking design was X-23.
Mm. Who has Wolverine?
Who looks like she's in the old Wolverine suit. It just does not fit with her because it reminds me of Wolverine. But she's a chick, so she should not remind me of Wolverine.
Look at that leg extension she has on that photo, though. It's
Wolverine skinny with boobs.
Yep.
So, yeah, those were the ones that I mainly saw. I thought the Iron Man one looked pretty badass. Who knows what's more to come from Marvel, because we still got to get past this nonsense.
Do you think they're spoiling it by putting those out, though?
Oh, fuck yeah, they are, but they do this shit all the time. Like, when I learned that Professor X died before he did, that was the biggest one, that was the first of many. I hate the internet. I would love to go pre-internet time, back to reading comic books, when I picked it up and I was like, what's this? Something's going to happen inside? And it actually did, but it didn't fucking tell you and I didn't know about it at first. Or I was reading this event because it actually did mean something. Now,
right. You know what's going to happen before it happens.
Yeah, I don't even need to read half the shit. I just need to read, like, you know, New York Times or something and they'll tell me what happens in comic books.
Yeah, it's true.
Speaking of comic books, you guys want to be famous? I mean, besides already famous on being on the best podcast ever, because you could also be in front of the big screen, or not big screen, small screen. Not small screen. I mean, it's reality TV, so, like, let's get real. Like, I don't know, the shit runs on.
Real! Quotation marks. Reality
TV. But it's Kevin Smith-based reality TV, and I'm always down for anything Kevin Smith-based.
Yes, just...
It doesn't matter.
Not this. No, this just seems too a little...
Pawn Stars-ish?
Yes, exactly. Comic book men are looking for some people to cast in their upcoming season. They're looking for a quirky comic geek with supersized personality. Now, that could be any of us in this room. However, for me, it's a reality TV show. This is just like taking away the magic of it. I mean, this is almost like Monica not getting that rose on The Bachelor the other night. Like,
oh my God,
really? I can't believe they're doing this to me. Like, why?
I have to leave.
You guys both have bigger vaginas than I do.
Oh, Drake, Drake. So that's out there, I guess, if you're in the New Jersey area and you like comics, and I guess you could possibly be on TV, but I want to feel like I watched that show a couple times that it would be regular people coming in. Now, granted, I was... smart enough then to know some of the shit just sounds too fishy, but really now you kind of take away that you know, this is a real person that came in with this comic book, whatever. Now they're just looking for people, and I don't know.
But you worked in customer service. You know the type of people that just come into shops every day. Do you really want to put them in front of a camera?
I worked at a GameStop. I will vouch for this.
Yes, a lot of them... Have the face for radio. Last thing that I really found was the Hellboy, was it Hellboy 100.
Hero Initiative?
Yeah. Derek, do you know a little bit more about that?
Vaguely. I just clicked on it and then stepped away. thanks for putting me on the spot. I appreciate that.
Well, you're welcome.
I'm trying to remember, wasn't it something to help fund and try to get, like, notoriety and stuff around Hellboy 3 and them trying to get that going? I know it was a lot of charity stuff, but...
No, this is all just straight-up charity. This is,
oh, okay, then I'm just totally stupid. It's cool.
Yeah, well, yay.
Hellboy 3, though, come on!
Bring you down to my peg. No, so with this, there's a lot of expressly printed blank covers, which were then illustrated, so almost kind of like the Sex Criminals, but...
Not dicks?
But yes.
Maybe.
Those horns are pretty phallic.
And with this, you know, they're selling these to try to raise money for the Hero Initiative. So that they have 100 of these, you know, covers from the high-profile artists. They're slowly revealing what they're going to be and which ones they're going to be on. There are way too many people's names to mention, but... it is now on eBay, so the people can start trying to outbid each other on the originals and get them. Now, something that we had talked pre-production about Hellboy 3, which has nothing to do with this, is just...
That's where I got it. You broke my mind.
Yeah. It's just how awesome Ron Perlman is and how he just started tweeting out, hey, let's get this thing started. Let's end Hellboy right. Let's give him a final ending. And I've known that he's wanted to make this for a while. Fuck, does Del Toro, he wants to, said to, didn't he?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, I'm sure.
I thought he did, but then I thought something about with Pacific Rim job and stuff that he didn't want to as much, but it needs to be there, so the fans need to say what they want, and we need to want that right now.
Yes, he wants you to hashtag Hellboy3 on Twitter. I think was the big push.
Okay.
Do it.
Since running out of time on news, we're going to get into Indie Turnpike. And Indie Turnpike this week, I picked up the Max Maximize number 20. Have you guys ever read the Max?
No.
Do you know what the Max is?
Nope.
It's hard to explain.
Great.
And Tony's going to try.
Yeah, well, in this issue in itself, it is kind of the end of kind of the first story arc. Now, the Max Maximize is... pretty much a whole reprinting, not a retelling, of the original Max series that came out in the 90s. So this is for anyone that has never read those or who never saw the MTV miniseries show, which was also amazing.
Oh, I remember that now.
Yeah, yeah. The guy with the you know, purple and the big teeth and, and all that. Yeah, that was the Max. And it's such a... the show, which what I first learned about it, then hearing about it was based off a comic, and then now realizing that they're reissuing them made me get into this again. And it is such a mindfuck of a comic book. Like, to try to explain it will not do it justice because I'm probably going to be explaining it wrong. However, there is a lot of symbolism. There's a lot of stuff that represents the overcoming of rape, the overcoming of, you know, intruders, of people coming after you. But then within the comic book, the Max is not who the Max necessarily is either. And what you find out is he's just kind of some hobo that wears a lampshade on his head and has gardening tools. But when you transform into the Outback, which is in Sarah's mind, that's where you really get to see the Max. You know, he's her spirit token animal guardian, which is a rabbit, which is another thing, weird thing. I'm kind of explaining how the story goes, but this issue number 20 really does do a great recap of explaining a little bit better what has gone on in the series. And instead of recapping and reading every page, just knowing that the way that the action starts when they're fighting the giant Hooli monster, how they destroy that, and then getting back to the out of the Outback into the world at hand of this shitty, you know, New York apartment, this gritty feel, and really getting down to the art in of itself. Just, it tells a, I don't know, such a, I don't want to say a depreciation, but like, can't think of the right word, but just gritty comes to mind. But just even that doesn't sound poetic enough for what Sam Keith has done with this book. So I urge everyone that can to read this, not only from even the small parts that I do get from it, it is a really big take on, you know, protecting women. And like I said, I should just shut up now just because of how much the symbolism and everything that goes within this book is amazing. The art is awesome. The story is awesome. But you will be kind of thrown for a loop of like, wait, this is the real world? Is the Outback, is that real? Is that just, you know, mind game? Why is the Max the way he is? I do know from the original series there are 15 more issues because it went to issue number 35. So I believe they're probably going to be telling them all and reissuing all. So maybe there's more story to get. But when you get to the final page here and it says the end, you're kind of like, no, I hope it's not. So the Max Maximized number 20 is our Indie Turnpike for the week. Booze in the Book, which is a little more fun, I also got brought to you by inkwhiskey.com. Go get your retro flasks. And actually, retro is kind of the theme for this week's Booze in the Book, because I went to the other night a Great Gatsby party. You know, girls in flapper dresses, right. Guys, you know, dressed to the nines, and, you know, me with my debonair type curly mustache. And what they had there was all these drinks, kind of signifying back Prohibition era. So the drink that I'm going to pick is the Bee's Knees, which is pretty simple to make, and I can't believe that I actually liked it. But it involves, and I should get the exact ounces and ingredients for you here.
Is there honey in it?
Yeah, well, that's why it's the Bee's Knees.
But it's so got smart.
No, it's got gin in it though, and that's
gross.
Yeah, that's what I fucking hate, gin.
I do too.
But one of the girls made this, and it kind of threw me for a loop, which is why is 2 ounces of gin, 3/4 ounce honey syrup, and 1/2 ounce of fresh lemon juice. The honey is what really kicked out really the gin, and it was really good. Knocked me on my feet. Now, I realized like I really like this drink. Now, what to pair it with? Normally it's a comic book and then you're reading it, and I started thinking, which comic book character does the Great Gatsby remind me of? This, you know, really rich person who flaunts his wealth, who, you know, kind of, you know, drinks occasionally, and I thought Iron Man. So I can't think of the issue here. Where is it? Goes with Iron Man number 9, Superior Iron Man number 9 that came out this week. So plus, you get to see Pepper Potts kick Tony's ass. So
yeah. Nice.
So that's Booze in the Book this week. Other than that, we're getting towards the end, folks. I can't believe we made it this far. Do you guys got any other last calls that you've read?
I picked up Years of Future Past, number 1. It's actually pretty good. I didn't think I was going to like it.
So this is the thing with all the Battle World stuff and Secret Wars and whatever you want to call it. There are certain titles I can't pick up. Like, I'm already spending, like, $40 a week on this shit.
It's expensive.
But that was one of them I kind of wanted to, but then just said, eh. Is it following how the original one went?
Kind of, but this is not Kitty Pryde. This is her daughter.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. But, like, but are they in this, like, future world where pretty much all of them...
It's almost... I want to say it's almost exactly... It runs almost exactly the way the original one does, except instead of it being about Kitty Pryde, it's about her daughter.
See, that's
Chrissy.
This is what me and my brother were talking about the other
Interesting.
Day. Yeah. This whole Secret Wars is a giant, you know, what if type thing.
Yes.
And cool, I do like what ifs, but they didn't need to all come out at once. They didn't need to all. They could have had a couple like proper just this is what's always been type things interacting with some stuff, because I get so lost into. Wait, I like the original story arc of this, but now you're retelling it differently, which kind of cool, but what the fuck's this got to do with anything else?
Yeah, I don't even know how this is going to tie in anything. Wolverine has a kid in this, too. He's got weird powers. Yeah. it was interesting. I was expecting it just to be a complete retelling of the story, but it was different. What else did I get? All New X-Men 41, which really I just got because the cover looks awesome. Because it's Jean Grey. Phoenix. She doesn't go Phoenix in this, in case anybody wanted to know. The cover lies. and then the Bunker number 11, which is it's still a great series. I have no idea what's going on.
Have they... So they're still in the present, right? Like, has shit happened that from the future that...
Something happened, and stuff changed. So the stuff that they said was supposed to happen...
Hasn't. So therefore, does that piss off some of the people that started doing shit that...
Yes.
Gotta suck.
Yes. So I don't know how the writers can keep the story straight in their head, because I have to go back and be like, wait, what was supposed to happen, actually? Yeah. It's good, though.
Derek, what'd you pick up?
I picked up Batman Beyond number one. Apparently, they're completely rebooting the future as well in DC. This is supposed to be the definitive take on 30 years in the future for DC. Fun thing here, Batman is Tim Drake from the past brought to the future.
Oh.
I know. It's pretty crazy.
That's okay. That's
You should definitely check it out. I just read it this morning. I have to go through it again, kind of get some more details on it, but... Pretty cool. A lot of callbacks to the old stuff, like the Joker's gang and all that, but it's a pretty dark future. And, yeah, looking pretty cool so far. And I'm a Batman nerd, so.
Is that it for you?
Let's see what other things. I got Groot number one, which is amazing because, you know, it's Rocket Raccoon and Groot.
See, I heard that was pretty good, especially with the writing of how you can have a character that only says
three words
and still have a story. I also heard in that book a fun little page panel of why they don't have Superman here in the Marvel.
Oh, my God. That was hilarious.
Because they go through space. They went to this planet where there's these two people.
The world is ending.
They call him Jar-El, but those like...
It was pretty similar.
Kal-El or something like that. And... We have one escape pod for a kid, and there comes Rocket and Groot, and
they're just in it, and they're like, we need to borrow this. Yep. But our planet's dying, and they're like, see ya.
Oh, that's great.
And then Groot gives them a bunch of shit for stealing, some child's, life raft. But
I thought that was just a good joke.
That's
like, when that shit's written in well, those can be funny.
Yeah.
I picked up the Autumn Lands Tooth and Claw number 6. The magic, the mystery, the weird animal tribes, pretty fucking good. Haven't read Secret Wars Battle World yet, so
I just did last night. That's fun.
Armor Wars, that everyone in this place needs to wear fucking armor because of the disease, and I love Iron Man and everything he does. Haven't read that one. And Secret Wars number 3 still continuing the story of what's going on, so I can't wait till it's over so I can get back to reading just normal comics that aren't this
800 a week.
I think you'll like Renew Your Vows. There's some good Venom fight in there.
Awesome.
The cover is great on that one. I love it.
But like I said, it's more of, I don't understand which, because then I also picked up last week the
Spider-Verse
one. It's like, there's just too many damn spider books. Well,
there's, 38, 39 territories in Battle World, all with their own crazy timeline thing?
Yeah,
I mean, they can really do whatever they want. Yeah.
A couple of them have maybe multiple Wolverines. That one had Wolverine. There's Old Man Logan World. I want to see some of these characters meet and be like, wait, if... Because in their minds of this Battle World place, they've always felt they've lived there.
Uh-huh.
So you kind of have the past from these other stories that happen, but some of them have nothing to do with them, but they've always... Like I reviewed Old Man Logan last week, where you think of the original, this is almost a continuation from the original, but they've always realized they've lived in this type of world setting where their region has always been surrounded by other regions. So when you take that into mind, you got to think, they've always lived here. Why is there another Wolverine up in Years of Futures Past area? Why is there another Wolverine over here?
Do they know about each other?
So that's the thing. They know about different lands. They know about... So whether that one particular person knows about another one or not, that's the same. But the barons and leaders of the worlds, they kind of know something. But since those are all kind of one-off or main characters that they don't have multiples of, they're not oversight. And I think it's just the writing of where, you can say Wolverine and Deadpool are on 10 different teams at once.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to kind of pretend like it is. But still, it's... I don't know.
But if you read Old Man Logan, you know that sooner or later he's going to see some stuff after the end of that first issue.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yep. So that's what I have. Since you guys, this is your first podcast ever, how did it go?
Good. It's not Survived. My first podcast ever, just so you know.
Oh, what else have you done?
I did one with my friend Dave a couple weeks ago.
I cheated
on you.
This is my first. You popped my virgin podcast cherry, Tony. So I
appreciate
it.
I had to... get the awkwardness out of the way.
Okay. Well, thank you guys for joining us. Hopefully next week we should have the normal crew. These two cats will be with us throughout the summer when we're off doing real life stuff and actually can't always be in my recording studio. But till next week, cheers, guys. Keep reading your comic books, and we'll be back next week to talk to you about them then.